The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is February 2nd, 2016, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. He was just on with us Friday. We had a blistering show again. This month, he'll be on twice this month, and then he goes to one and then two like that the rest of the year. You wanted him on like that, so for half the year, you're going to have him on twice a month. Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253. We had Richard on yesterday. I'll have his show up within the next couple days. We talked about his favorite lifters, man. Wait to hear who the guy was that made the biggest mark on a 12-year-old kid. I'm telling you, that he is one of the most interesting people. I could have talked to him probably all day. I mean, it was unreal what was going on. So check that out, Sorenex.com. Steven Santangelo, who's a monthly regular on here too, unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. You can contact Steven at primalcreations@aol.com or on Facebook, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, period, S-A-N-T-A-N-G-E-L-O, period, 75. Tell him we sent you. www.grasslandbeef.com. It's also known as U.S. Wellness Beef. That's our good friend John Wood, who's been on here, and we're trying to get him back on. He is awesome. Obviously, the health benefits, loads of CLA, omega-3s. He's grass-fed and grass-finished. I implore everybody out there, wherever you go, to ask that. As I'm telling you right now, not only do they put soy in a lot of this grass-fed stuff they're telling you, they do not grass-finish it, all right? And when you're paying $40 for a filet mignon that's about the size of a half dollar, get on it. I'm telling you. And they'll get pissed off at you like they do at me, but I really don't care. If you go out to John's site, too, he has grass-fed lamb and bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. Jason Fulner, another friend of the show, go out to planyourworkouts.com. You can get this. This is basically a logbook to record your workouts. You can also get it on Amazon Prime for $5, no shipping. Jason's a hell of a guy. He's a Marine. He's also been martial arts for over 20 years, the same way weightlifting. And one of the greatest things, like all of our listeners, family, everybody, he listens to Motivation Muscle in his shed when he trains. I love it, man. StrongerGrip.com. That's Ryan. Before I get into that, he's got handcrafted strength gear for the last 10 years he's built. They've made high-quality strength gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling, and you've seen some of his trophies on ESPN. He's also been featured in Men's Health magazine, and he's made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and all of us out here. That's what he does. StrongerGrip.com. And for anybody that doesn't know or hasn't listened, this has been already out. Ryan and I, FBC and Stronger Grip, are doing a big contest right now. It started yesterday, February 1st, and it goes to March 17th. Send in your video of your biggest lift. I don't care what it is. Everybody wants to know, is it only weight lift? It's anything you want. Anything you've done you're proud of, send in to us. When you upload it to YouTube, make sure on the heading line it says FBC and Stronger Grip and then a dash and whatever the subject matter is. If you'd like to go down below and explain it more, we're fine with it. And don't forget, email address. You win. We don't know how to get a hold of you. And the biggest thing is, if you win, you come on Motivation and Muscle with me and you get to do a show, which will be pretty damn fun if you've never done it before. Anybody can enter. I don't care if you're a regular on the show or not. We want you to come in. So go out to StrongerGrip.com and check that out. You can see it all over Facebook. Top 10 ways to build mind and muscle on Fiorello Barbell Company. You know, that's what I did. 10 paragraphs. Think, commit, take action. I'm not going to go into any more. We'll hit some of that today, I'm sure. Also, strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Those are the two biggest products I've done to date. Same way, FiorelloBarbellCo.com. As I said, The one thing we get from people here is authentic. Everything that I put out, I've done. And if you need help, FiorellaBarbellCo@NICAP.com. I'm sorry, it's FiorellaBarbell@NICAP.R.com. I'd be glad to help anybody out. That's the way it works here. So go out and check out those two products on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Don't forget, too, sponsorship is huge here. It costs a lot of money every month to run this show. We're still going at $100. I do 5 to 15 shows a week. And remember, it's all the $30 of the $100 or anything we charge goes to muscular dystrophy, where FBC and M&M is dedicated to my brother Jimmy's memory, who died of muscular dystrophy. He died of a common cold that turned into pneumonia. The $30 right now in the cold and flu season goes for flu shots for these kids, and they are marvelous kids, believe me. Strongest people I've ever met. And like I said, we're going to be millions strong in this family of ours. We're going to be around for a long, long time. I promise you, this will be the best time you spent. We'll be here 25 years at least, I guarantee you. So join in with us and be part of the family. And I believe that's it. But today we have a regular, too. We have our good friend Andrew Derniat on. I'm going to give you a little bit about Andrew. Obviously, if you know anything about him, he's got a great website. Obviously, he's got a gym there. It's called DerniatStrength.com. You know to put WW, but most you don't have to do that really anymore. So that's one place to find him. Also, he's definitely one of the top grip guys around the world. He is all things grip, and, you know, he's an all-around lifter. He's done a ton of stuff, and we've got a few guys on here like this, and I know he's familiar with them. And we're going to talk about today. I've been wanting to talk to somebody lately about big weights, just whether you want to call it a one-rep max, whatever it is, but we'll get into the mind philosophy and all that and some reps and stuff like that. Andrew, welcome to the show. Good to have you back, and Happy New Year, sir.
Hey, same to you. It's always a pleasure being here and chatting with you.
Thanks, sir. Expand on what I said if you want. It's fine. I want people that don't know you through the show yet to get familiar with you, because Andrew's on here every other month, so you know you're going to hear steady flow from him.
Yeah, I mean, just keeping on our theme of looking at the big lifts and things that that one rep max, and yep. What you know, the one rep max, I guess, is the true and the truest, I guess, test of just human potential around. And that number is, you know, the great thing of lifting is that number is infinite. There's no end in sight. And so you look at, we had this conversation at the gym yesterday, with what numbers, quote unquote, light/middleweight strongmen are doing now. And what was done at the absolute top echelon of pro strongmen 10 years ago.
Yep.
And you're taking guys that were 350 to 400 pounds, and they were, you know, trying to get 400 pounds overhead.
Yep.
And now we're getting 230-pound guys touching those same numbers.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate that here at Derniat Strength, we've got one of those guys, Jake Reynolds.
Okay.
He's his workout yesterday on the log was a 355 log for three singles.
Wow.
He's going for the American record in the log lift February. What's the date? It's coming up in like two weeks. Over in Youngstown, he'll be. I think it's February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day.
He's going
for the log world record. And, you know, he's shooting for, you know, 380, 385. It feels real good. But then he's like, I want 400 in my hands. He's like, I'm going to give it hell.
Andrew, not to interrupt you now, he's a 230er, you're saying?
Yeah, 230.
That's think about that. That is sick. There's guys 400 that can't press 200.
Yeah, and we were talking, and I was like, man, I remember, I want to say it was 2007, 2008, Yep. Somewhere in there, when I watched down, it was down in Texas at America's Strongest Man, the first 400-pound log was lifted overhead in the U.S., you know, by a heavyweight.
Yep.
And, you know, that it was unheard of at that time. And now we're having guys that are 200 pounds lighter doing, approaching that same thing.
Yep.
It's just... you know, that's the advancement of the sport right there.
Well, let's talk about this too. Obviously, this gentleman. Now, what was his name, Andrew? I don't want to.
Jake Reynolds.
Jake Reynolds. Okay. Now, obviously, Jake's doing some things, or he's specializing. So, what takes, besides, you know, obviously some training experience and somebody around you like yourself? What is he doing? Is he obviously he's going after this. So is he specializing on this over everything else, or what is he molding in with the press? I mean, is he, you know, obviously,
this is something that we, you know, also with his training that we've looked at and said, you know, yeah, okay, overhead, most people are seeing the arms at work and come into play with this. But the biggest thing that we feel is that has benefited his overhead is a big front squat.
Exactly.
You know, the squat, you know, you hear it say 1,000 times, you know, the squat sets the foundation, and he's got a huge back squat, but we've really, you know, transferred that over and focused on his front squat and looked at getting his front squat numbers. He just hit a 505 front squat.
That's sick. That's awesome,
and, you know, man. I want to say he hit 525 as well for a single, and you know, he's done numerous triples and everything at 475 and below.
I don't know if people really realize what a 500-pound front squat is.
Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah, obviously then his overhead, you know, corresponds to that, but I mean, these are world-class numbers across
Absolutely.
The board, and you know, I throw the numbers out there somewhat loosely, but it's just like, you know, we see it happen every weekend here. So, you know, this is just, you know, the environment that has been built here is, you know, you see things, you know, people coming off the street all the time just to check the gym out, and you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, he's lifted 300 pounds overhead, it's no big deal, nobody bats an eye until he gets over 350 on anything, and you know, 500-600-pound deadlifts in here. That's Tuesday. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
You know, it's just what happens.
Well, you know what it is too. I found too. I've gone a lot back to the front squat. I've been doing it with the Apollo and axle because I do everything dead stop off the rods. But you know, I had that shoulder crap and I tore that left bicep, and at times that thing really bothers me. With a standard York bar on, you know, because I cross my arms, okay?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What I found with the thicker bar, now I've only got up to, what was it, 347 last week. I wasn't struggling with it at all, and I came right dead stop off the pins. But I didn't have that digging into that part, like it's like right below the deltoid on the side, all right? And it seemed to work. Now, I got to go out the end of the week and squat again. But one thing I can tell you, I understand totally what you're saying, because when I front squat, I seem to be able to pull stones better too.
Yeah. Well, you know, most of that resistance is in the front. And in the front squat, just like any kind of stone lift or anything, the front squat wants to bury you forward.
Yep.
And the slightest bit of, you know, weakness or lack of concentration, and that bar is off your shoulders, especially as that weight gets up, you know, it's going to rip off your shoulders. So you have to truly fight every inch with perfect form to make the front squat happen. You know, with the back squat, the hips can rise up and you can essentially good morning it. And essentially brute, you know, the front squat, yes, it's a brute strength lift, but I think there's so much more that comes into play with the front squat that, you know, the back spot, it can get ugly and you can still get up.
Without a doubt. And you know, the funny, well, I don't know this for sure. Now, I've heard this through different channels of people and stuff over the years that have been around that saw Alexi and stuff. Now, we all know what he did. And, yeah. You know, I liked him, but I still like Ken Patera, and I love Serge Redding. I mean, every time I see that stuff with Redding, he'd be ahead by like a pound and a half, and Alexi would be by half a pound. I was like, damn it, man. You know what I mean? And Redding, to me, had to be from top to bottom one of the nastiest athletes. And you know, they said he was 5'9". From what I read, I talked to Richard Soren, who saw him. He said he was no more than 5'6". He probably weighed 330. Yeah. But, man, that guy looked like a piece of rock. I mean, you look at his legs. I don't think I've ever seen legs like that. I mean, there's big people, don't get me wrong, but that guy was just everywhere. But getting to my point, I've heard from different people, and maybe you've even heard stuff. I heard Alexia always trained at night alone, and what I heard was he front squatted anywhere from 800 to 1,000 pounds. Did you ever hear anything like that?
I mean, it not surprising.
Okay.
You know, it's just, you know, I could see him using, and he was one where he would train different ranges of motion. So I could see him pushing 1,000 on a bar somewhere at a certain range of motion.
Yep, absolutely. All right. So, like with Jake and Jake's experience here, so you got him front squat. And what else what else you got him doing that's going to accentuate the overhead, you think?
You know, it was, well, the other one was volume and repetition, you know.
Okay.
You know, and still to this day, you know, he's doing overhead 2 to 3 times a week.
Wow.
And then his front squat, you know, today was a front squat day. You know, he came in, he hit his front squats, and that was it. No other accessories right now.
I love it. You know what it is, Andrew? This is where everything gets lost in the mix.
Yeah.
People don't realize you come in and you're pounding 300-plus overhead, and you're at a 500-pound front squat. What else do you need, man?
Yeah.
Seriously.
And we tell people, like, you know, you got to get the main work in. And you know, sometimes people look at our training logs, and they're looking at stuff, and they're like, man, there's not a lot of variety here. And I'm like, if you hit the main lift so hard, you don't have the energy for the extra.
That's the thing.
You're so gassed.
Yep.
And people are like, no, man, I always get this, that, and the other. I'm like, then you're not pushing your squats hard enough, and that's why you're not growing.
Or if you're even squatting at all, because I see you still snicker. I'll see these dudes, you know, I could be going anywhere, but especially if you're going to a health food store like Whole Foods and you meet up with them, and they're all pecs and biceps, and you look at them below the waist, and it's like you can blow on them and they'll fall off the chicken legs, man.
Exactly.
You know, it's, you know, and the thing is, people don't realize that lower end, man, is like everything to you. And it's like, if you don't have that, you got nothing, man. I don't care. You're only going to go so far with your strength at that point. That ought to be very interesting to see what he does, man.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait. It's going to be exciting.
If you mention it to him, I'd like to get him on the show after he's done the video. Okay. I'll put it up. I'll put it on FTC and
absolutely
put him out there. But I mean, we might even be able, if he'd be interested, we could even do a show with the three of us. I'll hook the, if he came to the gym or wherever you're doing this, we could do a three-way conversation, which would be pretty cool.
Absolutely.
All right, that's just something to think about when he's back. All right, so we know what this gentleman's doing. What else do you like to do? I mean, heavy stuff. Have you ever got into it, like the stones or the anvils or
The anvils I've lifted pure, you know, not, you know, again, deadlifting anvils. And you know, and that was purely around with the Arnold Classic and the Mighty Mitts with Sornex up on the main stage at the Arnold. They brought out the Jowlett anvil, which was 173-pound anvil. And the first year we used it, we had to one-arm farmers walk it for distance. Now, this anvil, I mean, most people are happy just to pick it up off the ground, let alone try to then walk with it.
Yep.
It didn't walk very far. I think I walked maybe, 15 feet with it before I caught it on my ankle, and it went crashing down. And then in the years after that, lifting, because just a world-class feat of strength at the Arnold gets thrown to the back burner. We got to do something bigger and better. The following year, Richard showed up and he's like, "Yeah, we got the Jowl at Anvil again for just a deadlift." It was one of, I think, 10 items, but he wrapped a 20-pound chain around it, just to make it heavier. Most people can't lift it off the ground with nothing, and then he wraps 20 pounds around it and says, "Here, have at it." So I was also fortunate, even with the 20 pounds around it, to still get a solid full lift on it, which is perfect. So I would, that's always been a favorite lift of mine. I've got an anvil here at the gym that's 126 pounds, but then what I've done is I've taken a 10-inch 1x bolt, and I've bolted additional 25 and 10-pound plates to it, wrapped it with chains. Just training for the Arnold, I needed to be able to work up to that heavy weight the best I could in training, and so I know I worked up to just over 200 pounds on that anvil, so I knew that in the span of a 60 seconds with 10 other items, I could practically run by it, just slap my hand on it, and get it off the ground.
That's sick, man. That is so awesome. Well, you know what I want to ask you, too? I remember, I think, on our first show, you said, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I remember this good. You felt like the one-arm bent row with a thick bar was like kind of the turning point for you with grip. Am I right? Or?
Yeah. Okay. That is what? Everybody asks, how do I get my grip stronger? And I was like, before fat grips came around with their the blue slap-on grips to dumbbells, you actually had to get a 2-inch pipe and weld some collars on it and find somebody to weld you up fat grip dumbbells. And I still to this day swear that you want a strong grip, one heavy one-arm back handle dumbbell rows. Start with the 2-inch handle, work yourself up. I'd work up to about 150 pounds on the 2-inch handle, then I'd cycle back down. I'd go to the 2.5-inch handle, and my best one-arm dumbbell row performance was I worked up to a set of 10 one-arm dumbbell rows with the inch dumbbell on each arm.
Oh,
and that was me at the top, and that's a 2 3/8-inch handle,
exactly.
Cast iron dumbbell that weighs 172 pounds.
Yep.
Most people are happy to break it off the ground, and I was able to go uninterrupted, no regrip, just 10 straight rows left, 10 straight rows right. Done. And I was like, there. Now my grip and my body are strong if I can do that.
And have you ever attempted to put it overhead?
I've not put it overhead. I've done some attempts with some cleans. I've done some smaller, quote-unquote, baby inch dumbbell one-arm cleaning presses. Obviously, Jake here puts it overhead like it's a toy. His best one-arm overhead, one of his other goals is he wants to put his body weight overhead one arm. I think he's hit we've got our circus dumbbell here with sand is loaded up to 220, 225, and he's got that. So, I mean, it's just a matter of him getting it put together, and he'll do that without a problem.
That's like Chuck Aaron's style. I mean, you can't find a lot of information about him, but I remember him saying, like, they used to have these boxes. They put these big gargantuan dumbbells overhead, and they could reach up through and press them. And they were saying, I think I read somewhere, and I tried to verify it with Bill Hinburn. I think we did. I think he pressed like a 400-pound dumbbell like that, man. I mean, he had monster fucking deltoids on him. I mean, I think that pressing, look at everybody's always going to say squat and deadlift, but I, where I draw the line kind of and differ with people, I still think what you can put over your head, to me, is the strongest feat you can do out of the three. I really do. Yeah. That's me. And if tell me, I mean, what am I wrong? I don't know. Am I wrong about that?
It takes full body coordination. It's not.
Yeah.
It's you know, the deadlift is, you know, that it's a technically it, you know, all lifts are very complex when you get down to it, but the deadlift is being one of the simplest. It's bend over, stand up.
Yep, exactly.
You know, the squat, there's more balance that comes into the squat, and the anytime you start going overhead, you're challenging so many stabilizers, not to mention if you throw the clean in there before it, you know, I always said if I had to choose one lift that I had to do for the rest of my life, you know, do a clean and press.
Yeah.
And you, there, you, if you just did clean and press your entire life every time you came into the gym, you would be a very strong individual.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Strong and in all the right places.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, everybody this day and age, well, the athleticism, which you got to have, and they all like, you know, the look and all that stuff. But I'll tell you right now, another movement I love doing, and I don't have to do it real heavy, and you can see big changes in your body. And I pull it, I've got all different varying pulling blocks, but I've got this set of wooden ones that a friend of mine who's a carpenter built. And I like these better even than the steel ones from Iron Mine and all the other ones I've got. These things are, you know, of course they're elevated up, but, you know, I'll grab the good York Olympic bar, obviously, and just you load my bumpers in them. And it might not be any more than 200, but I love high pulls, man.
Yeah.
I love them. I think they are such a great movement. And you want to build traps, look out, baby. I mean, and you don't have to be going 400, 5. You know, I'm not into it for that. I use different things. Sometimes even to warm up, I'll use them, all right? If I know I'm going to lift stones that day or something, you know, I might hit the glued ham, and they'll always tell you, don't ever use a glued ham before you do anything that's, you know, relegated to the back. Well, I'm here to tell you they're full of shit. I've never lost anything, and one thing I like is that chain is blown up full of blood, man. And I've got one of the original Yeses glued hams, and that thing is sick. I go out usually on off days. I'll go out and do like 3 sets of 10, just, you know, body weight.
Yep.
Awesome thing. And I know back in the day with Alexia and a lot of, you know, like Riegert, and I have read articles through old Perry Rader Ironmans. Well, you see pictures of these guys that whether they're wrestlers or shot put or what. You look at the spinal erectors, man. And I totally am in agreement with these people. It's like this. If you've built stuff like that, I mean, what is there really that you can't pick up unless you have an injury or you get hurt, really?
Yeah.
I mean, when you're back, I mean, think about that picture. I'll never forget that picture of a Hola's back on the cover of Milo probably 15 years ago. I mean, you could literally, I don't care how big your hand is, you could put your fist in between the erectors and they wouldn't see your fist, man. I mean, that was unreal. But I think that's so essential to training, but I like doing stuff like that just as a warm-up, you know, a feeder kind of, and do stuff like that. And if you're getting a little bit off it too, I mean, what's better than building a little bit more muscle? And I don't care if they look showy. I mean, let's face it, abdominals are one thing. People say, well, you know, that's strong. Now, you know what's strong is when you see a set of traps blowing up to your ears. Then you know that dude has been lifting some big shit, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, Go out into the farm field, find an old-time farmer.
Oh, yeah.
Look for him a little bit. What's the first thing he's going to say about a good worker? He's got a strong back.
Yep.
He's not talking about his arms, not talking about his legs, his abs, anything else. You go out, you find an old-time farmer, you work hard for him. He's going to look at he's going to look at you and go, that boy's got a strong back. He's a good one. He's a keeper. You know.
Oh, yeah.
It's a strong back.
Any farmers I ever met, look at their hands. They got those big ham hands, man.
Oh, they grab everything. I mean, we get guys all the time here. You know, we're in Worcester. We got a lot of, you know, just blue collar workers that come in. These guys start lifting, and we start putting fat handled dumbbells and barbells in their hands and deadlifting.
Oh yeah,
and we got some guys that just, you know, you look at and the strength that they have just from an everyday working You know, working man's job is building up that strength, and that's, you know, those are the guys. You look at some of the strongest, you know, guys, you know, carpenters that are truly swinging hammer and nail, you know, throwing lumber around. Don't let the crane do it. You know, you want a crane? Here's my right and left arm.
Yeah. And you know what the greatest thing is, too? You know, we're everybody's so caught up on everybody out there, you know, and they're throwing names around and everything. I got news for you. You know how many people that you don't even know about that are training in a garage or a cellar or on a farm or out in the woods? They would take some of these guys and plant them, man.
I mean,
these guys are serious-ass people that don't care about competing, say, in a World's Strongest Man or something local or whatever. I'll tell you right now, you meet up with them, and you know when you shake hands with somebody if they're a laborer. There's no doubt about it. You can look at their hands, man, and you know what's going on. And, you know, that's why I say there's an awful lot of people out there that we don't even know about that they could probably come in and put a whipping on some people that think they're, you know, number one. And that's what I think's funny about everything, because I love meeting people like that. And you sit down, you talk shop with them, and it's like they're doing basic stuff or they rig shit up and they figured out how to do it, man, and they're just awesome. You know, that to me is what lifting is all about. You know, we can have all the fancy stuff and the latest this and that and the other thing. I just like the people that are very instinctual. They're by themselves. They got to rig stuff up or have something, you know, like you were saying, go to a welder, have them weld up a 2 3/8 inch fat bar. You know what I mean? That's the imagination, the creativity. I think not only that keeps you training for a long, well, we're talking decade after decade. I really do.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's the best thing. All right, so what else, man? What other kind of lifts? Obviously, you know, we love smashing big dumbbells. We're in the logs. Obviously, if you wanted to get, you know, if you're put out on island, you'd hit a power clean. And we talked somewhat about squats and deadlifts. But, you know, I'm going to bring this up because this is a very popular lift. And I think at one time it was a very productive lift. I don't like the way a lot of it's done now, and I'm sure you can probably guess what I'm going to say to you, is the bench press.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the all-American favorite. And I think that what's really, you know, I've gone back and forth and full circle up and down on the bench press. The best thing I ever heard described about the bench press was, I believe, from Dave Tate in Elite FTS. And when he described the bench press, he described the bench press as a full body lift. It is not a chest exercise. Most people look at the bench and they think, oh, I need to do bench for my chest. No, stop. Get that thought out of your head. Make the bench press a full body lift, because when you do the bench press right and you get your feet set, you arch back, you coil yourself, you drive your traps into the bench. You get your hands on the bar, you keep your shoulders packed. You're not pressing the bar out of the rack. You're pulling that bar out of the rack. Your body is so coiled under tension, it's ridiculous.
Well, you know, I do most – if I'm going to do any bench, which I don't do much, I just do it floor press because, you know, I've got to do everything pretty much off the rods because the way everything's positioned. And I just start it right off the power rack. I lay on the platform. Just dig in like that and do it, and it works for me. I can put a bench in there, but I just like being – I like having my whole body laying on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like the pads that are going to dig through the middle of your back, so to speak, because, you know, I mean, if you're loading a lot of weight on, you know, we get those pressure point looks and all that. So I do that. I think the bench – I think it's a great movement, but I think it's been exaggerated to the point where it's like – I like to try to be raw with as much as I can. I mean, I'm not going to say I don't use tacky, and I do have, like, elbow pads and all that stuff. But I don't like the suits, and I understand the whole thing of it. I got it. But I think for a movement that's very raw, I think you can produce some really result-producing results from it. But I don't go to gyms anymore, so I really don't know what the pulse is on it. But anytime I've been in a gym, you know, if I go away, I've got to go work out somewhere. I mean, the you know, we've got every gadget on, The form looks pretty bad. It looks like these guys are pulling up on the bar all the time. You know, that's not a bench press, man. I mean, I look back at maybe more like when York Barbell was doing stuff and things of that nature. And, you know, just the old style stuff like a Doug Hepburn or a Paul Anderson. I mean, these guys got weight loaded. You know, look at Pat Casey, first 600-pound bencher.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm kind of more in tune with that. But if you said to me, okay, Eric, you got to go to an island and you can only bench press or go overhead, overhead wins by a football field.
Yeah.
You know, I like the involvement, and I know what you're saying, you know, get the whole body involved in the bench, but I just think there's nothing like being able to stand up with something. You know, I think we were made to stand up like that, and, you know, I'm looking at your picture where you're one arm pressed in the Olympic bar here. With the, I don't know if there are Leco plates or what's on it, but to me, that's the shit, man.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm, go ahead.
Yeah, when you're standing with the weight, I mean, you're the master of your whole body. You're not supported by anything else.
No.
You know, the bench. You know, I still think it, like the back squat is it the bench press and the back squat. You know, truly, that is, you know, most people's introduction to lifting. And so it does set a strategic foundation for the rest of you to be built upon. But, you know, you've got to branch out from there. But that, you know, those lifts are, you know, that's where it starts.
Yeah, exactly. I want to bring up another lift, too, that I think's been kind of lost, too, which I feel not only is it one of the best bicep movements, but I think if you want to be a stone lifter, I think it's one of the kings is the bent row.
Yeah.
What's your feeling on the bent? See, I love going very heavy, whether I use an Apollon axle or a 3-inch bar. And one thing just to make note of this, when we were talking about the fat handles, I think I've talked to you before on the shows where I like to train one side with all fat stuff. So if I'm going to do a squat, say, I do one side, and I'll dead stop it off where I would if I was doing a conventional back squat, but I use the Apollon axle, so that thing's laying across my trap on whatever side, and I push it up that way. And then I'll do a one-arm row, 2-inch handle, obviously. And obviously, I can bury that from any height. I mean, if I want to run 10s, 25s, 35s, 45-pound plates, I can raise it up that way if I want to partial it. I also can obviously pull it off if I want to stack some plates under it. I really don't have to do that because on my third movement is that piece of apparatchia that I designed and we built where this goes into the width of the power rack and the rods slide through the tubes of this thing and pin in the back on both sides, and basically it's opened all the way through the middle, and I can put any size dumbbell, and it'll cradle it, and obviously you put your hand up under, you know, through it,
yeah,
and press it. Well, I can also bring that down and do bent rows that way, too. But the point of the matter I'm getting to, you know, I've gone back to thick bars for two reasons. Number one, because of the volume of stonework I'm doing now, I want my grip at this point to limit what I can use in the weight room. And people are like, you're out of your mind because you're going to lose so much weight. You know, you got to get it, you know, you got to counter this with that and all this. I'm like, look, you're not losing it all. And this is what I try to get through to people. A 1-inch bar is never going to put the demands on ligaments, tendons, and muscle bellies. And I'm here to tell you, I believe right now in the last 3 weeks, everything's gotten better and bigger. And then one of the big reasons I did this too was Bill Crawford and I got in a big talk about this, and, you know, I've been doing a lot of stuff with the rowing and digging the fingers into the stones, and I've come up with another way I'm messing around with where I'll take, might even be a 50-pound stone. I'll take it, dig my fingers into it, and take it and push it against the garage wall for an isometric hold while I'm doing that, and I make sure my feet are spread so when I drop it, it doesn't break my foot, obviously. So I've been doing that, and I'm doing that with the rows. Now, it's cut my row down quite a bit. But I got to tell you, man, I get body pumps like you wouldn't believe. And I'm sticking with singles. And that's another thing I want to talk to you about, because when we're talking about Jake, I think you're doing some singles and triples.
Yeah.
But what's your feeling on a bent row, Andrew? I mean, do you feel
bent row is right up there with the
fat grip dumbbell row.
Okay.
You know, it is truly one of my, you know, I felt it. It was, you know, a huge part of my heavy lifting career. I mean, I worked up, I think, 405 or 402, whatever, 180 kg was something like what I would do sets and reps, sets of five with a bent over row. And I had people out, you know, like, there's no way. And I was like, all right, fine, I'll shoot a video. So it's on YouTube somewhere. If you want to see 405 bent over rows or fives, it's on there. There's not a lot of cheat. I'm standing there, got the barbell, and you grab it and you go. And that was, you know, that strong back mentality of, you know, like you said, with the stone lifting, with the Husafels, and, you know, looking at the inverse stone and all those things, you've got to, you need the spinal erectors. You need, you need power cables back there on your back. That's, you know, that's what you need. And like you said, you're talking about the cover of Milo with
the hole.
Yeah, just crazy strength. That's built from rowing. That's built from pulling and picking things up off the ground. Like, you can do your deadlifts, and that's going to build up some erectors. But, man, get into some reps with you know, the barbell, and then finish that off with a fat handle dumbbell row.
Oh,
your
man.
Back is going to be pumped. I mean, you know, good posture is going to happen because you're going to be so tight and cramped up. You don't want to bend over.
Well, you know what I've done too with them. I think you'll like this. And now if I'll lead off would say I'm going to do a row with a thick bar dumbbell. Okay, so let's just say I'm going to put 25s on it tonight and load it up as much as I can and pull. But what I'll do sometimes, I'll go back and forth with them. I'll go round and round and round like that. I'll take no more than say like 250. 220 with the bent row. Now, this is using an Olympic bar, not a Pollins axle. This was before. I haven't tried it yet. So I'll immediately do 1 to 2 reps with the one-arm row with the dumbbell. I'll go over to the power rack, and I'll have that thing set. Say, I like to pull it. It depends. Some nights I'll pull it off the platform and put the long rods in the second hole in the bottom, and I'll take and do isometric holds, and I'll try to hold it from 6 to 10 seconds. Let me tell you something, man. I have never gotten a pump in my body like that in my life. Now, everybody's going to be like, well, it's only 200 pounds or 250. That's nothing. Okay. Do that 5 to 7 rounds with a big, thick, heavy dumbbell. Brace yourself against whatever. I brace myself against a keg. And then run over and do that immediately and tell me how you feel. I'd love to hear somebody tell me I've never felt anything like it. I'm here to tell you, man, your body buzzes, man. And I think that, you know, I'm in total agreement with you, bent rows. I think I've seen some of the bent rowing on Facebook. It is not a bent row, man. It's more like a half deadlift. Yeah. I believe, this is just me, and this is the way I was taught long, long time ago, pull it either just below your navel or to your navel, and that's what I do. And if that means I can only pull a 350-pound bent row as opposed to a 500 because I've pretty much done a half a deadlift, so be it, man, because you know what? You're not getting the benefits, man. You're not getting the benefits when you're doing that. So I don't know. I like doing things a little different, you know, like you at times. You know, I'm alone out there a lot, and I've got to do what works best for me. But and you know what else I love to do with the bent row? I love to put the car tires on it and pull it, man. It's fun as hell because, you know, you get that little bounce when you let it go and shit. It's fun as hell. It's just a great movement. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's all those things. I look at it as, you know, stealing from the bodybuilders, squeeze, pause at the top, you know, because when you get your hands on a stone and you get it to your lap, you got to squeeze, pull that in. And it's an isometric contraction a lot of times with those stones, especially when you're watching pick up and walk with your Husafell replicas. You're squeezing and pulling that in entirely. Yep. That is a row. You know, you're standing up and you're walking, but you're rowing that stone against your body for that entire time. You know, so not only do you have to handle the vertical load, you have this horizontal load that comes against you at the same time. And that's, you don't get that by accident. That is trained. That sets everything. And we go back, you know, coming full circle back to the overhead press. You know, it's, you know, we like it because it's separate from any other support. You know, your back is that support. And if your back is strong, it is the backboard that you're pressing against. It's, you know, as opposed to an incline. That's why, you know, pressing up against a wall and pressing against a backboard allows your pressing strength to be that much stronger, is because the bench is artificially supporting you, you know, in a positive way. But when you're standing all alone, you've got to have those spinal erectors. You've got to have those traps, the lats, you know, the rhomboids. Everything has got to be working, you know, cohesively for you to perform what you want to do.
Hey, you know, the thing is, too, with stone lifting, I had a guy that had come over here for one time. And, it you know, when you squeeze, it puts a ton of pressure on the middle of your chest, too. And he calls me up later that afternoon. He goes, I think I'm having a heart attack, man. I said, you're not having a heart attack, dude. I said, that whole area you never touched. I said, your breastbone and everything is going to hurt probably for a week.
Yeah.
You know, I'm serious. And it's like
first time you lift a stone and you squeeze concrete against your sternum. Yeah, that's a feeling you don't soon forget. And it's, you know, especially if you haven't lifted stones in a while and you go to, you know, lift a stone up onto a high platform where you have no choice but to get it high on your sternum. And you've got the weight of that stone and you've got to press that much plus some to keep it glued to your chest. Yeah, I mean, that's a whole new level of fun and pain right there.
Oh, and you know something, too? And it's like, especially with the Hoosa Steels we got out there, now we got three, and we're in the process of doing another one, it looks like, I want to do. And you don't realize, I mean, that thing is over, I think it's about 8 1/4 inches on the side. And when you're not used to it, even when I got to come back and start lifting them again, your wrists take a beating because your wrists have got to kind of turn a little bit to hold it.
Yep.
And all that stuff in your wrist kills you. And then the biggest thing is, and this is where you got to be super tough, you got to get those forearms absolutely brutally tough, because the first few times you're going to do that, especially if you're outside and it's hot, that stuff, and I won't wear gauntlets or any of that stuff unless I absolutely have to. That will dig in. You get like road rash on the inner part of your forearms. And I'll tell you right now, like you're talking like with the chest and the pain, the forearms, it's painful. And it's pulling like your biceps down because your biceps aren't used to it. And it's like people are always like, don't train arms. Everything will go for the ride. I used to kind of be a believer until I tore the arm. And I always did work, but not like I do now. I got news for you. Here's what I would tell anybody out there. If you're going to attempt stones, and I mean this, work your arms. And I don't mean sit there and do bullshit barbell curls with like 50 pounds on it. I'm talking maybe getting some thick bar curls. Brace your back against the wall and lift it that way. Don't be cheating with it unless you want to just do it. I've done them too. I've been guilty of it. And I like doing that at times, but the best way to keep yourself out of trouble is brace your back against the wall when you lift them. Lift it nice and clean. Obviously, bent rows, I think, whether you're using a dumbbell, a barbell, or if you just dig your fingers into any size stone and row it, you will have those deadly digits, as they used to call them, because I'm going to tell you right now, and I know Andrew will go with me, and I've learned this the hard way, and I've talked to a lot of good stone lifters. The weak point, and this is no shit, is going to be your fingers. And I know people that have trained with people that got a 700-pound deadlift, and when they go and try to lift a 250-pound sphere or whatever it is, a natural stone, guess what? They can't even get the damn thing off the ground, okay? And you know what it comes down to? Hands, fingers, wrists. Not there, man. Right. So there's a big difference between what you're pulling off the ground with a calibrated barbell and when you're lifting something like an odd object as a stone.
Yeah. You can't lift what you can't hold on to. It's real simple.
Yeah. And I don't think people realize that. They think, hey, I got a 700-pound deadlift. What's a 200-pound stone, man?
Oh, and you know, I out at numerous comps, LA Fit Expo with Ode Hagen, You know, we'd have the opening weight on the axle deadlift was 400 pounds. Now we're talking, you know, pro strongmen that have 800-900 pound deadlifts going up to a 400-pound barbell. You know, it's an axle, double overhand, and you're watching. And I remember watching guys' legs cavitate like it was a max effort deadlift, and I'm going, it's not the weight, and it's the only thing that's shutting down on that individual is his is his hands, but his legs and his body was cavitating like it was a max effort deadlift, and it was just like eye opening to so many people. They're like, but that guy can lift 900 pounds. I'm like, yes, he can, strapped in on a regular bar.
Yeah,
his hands are given out at 400 pounds.
Yep,
that's his weak point. He's got weak hands.
Yep. Well, I remember Adam Glass telling me when he'd go in those you know, the grip contest. And I guess he said, what was it, like, I think O just turned 65, and I think it was like when he was 62. He got to the point where he went against him. That's who he lost to. And, you know, you're talking a guy that weighed 180 to 200 pounds. That's what I mean. It's like deadly, brutal hands, man. But, you know, I want to remember, because I had a thought, and it was good, too, and now it escaped me. But, yeah, hands dictate everything. Oh, I know what it was. You've watched them. Did you ever watch them when they do the car deadlift too?
Yeah.
I mean, you can see what the hell's going on. These are 300 plus pound guys. All right. Some are over 400 now. We know Thor and Brian are over four or close. I know Thor is. Brian might be close, if not over. I don't know what Zavikas is. He's probably in the 360s range, whatever. But you look at a lot of the other guys, you'll see them when they do the different levels to qualify. And I'm amazed at two things with these guys. Number one, the car deadlift. A lot of them, I can't believe how poor they are for what they're saying they're pulling in the gym. And then, you know, the thing, like, you don't see it as much, but I wish they'd bring it back, because I think it is really a strength dictator. You know when they lift the log overhead? When it's all set up in that apparatus and it's got the handles.
Oh, yeah, the Viking press.
The press. Well, yeah, the Viking press. I'll tell you what, man. You want to talk about humbling a guy that is, like, supposed to be stronger than dirt, and they get up to that thing, and maybe they do four reps with it. Now, look, I'm not taking anything away from them. I mean, that is enormous weights they're moving. But at that level, man, you see, you know, hands – and whatever's going on there. And, you know, Andrew, I never used to be, like I said, a big proponent of, like, do I got to have big oversized arms or forearms and all this? Well, now I want to get them as big as I can. And I also found out, too, I was talking to Clint Darden. He was on our last show, who's a hell of a stone lifter, man. He's a hell of a lifter, period.
Yeah.
He was telling me one of the things he found, besides building big lats, which helped to lift stones. He said, believe it or not, you need huge triceps the way they come into play when you lift them. I never even thought of it like that. So that's another thing that I've kind of learned along the way, that, you know, you should really incorporate some heavy tricep work. And I don't mean like push downs either. Going to do some close grip bench presses. I mean, a lot of people like doing the French press. I don't like that. You get heavier elbows, you know, et cetera, et cetera. What I like to do is I like to take that big fat dumbbell, load it up, straddle it, grab it, you know, almost, you'd grab it with, how's the best way to do it? You got your thumbs together and your first fingers together. You get under, flip that thing over behind your head and press it straight up like that. That's my favorite way to do any type of tricep work, because you're also getting other work. I mean, it's hitting your upper back, et cetera, et cetera. But that, I love all that stuff. Another thing, too, I want to ask you, and it's another lift that is pretty much lost, I feel, too. Got multiple benefits depending on how you do it, and I think it's a very good way. You got to be very careful with it, but if you know what you're doing, it's a great shoulder girdle builder. What's your thoughts on, like, pullovers? And we know you don't want to go heavy with them. I know people go heavy. That's how they get hurt. They get a bad rap. You got any? Do you feel anything about a pullover? What's your idea on that?
One that, you know, and I've talked with, you know, Chris Rice uses them a lot, another older lifter, and it's I think it is, you're right, it is one of those forgotten lifts. that is used for just helping expand the chest after some of the main lifts.
Yep.
You know, you go back to the super squats manual, you go back to a lot of old texts on old time lifting, and you'd see them hit a heavy set of squats and they'd immediately go over and do a set of 10 pullovers with, you know, 30, 35, 40 pounds
exactly.
Just to expand the chest after just trashing themselves on a heavy set of squats. And so I think there's something, there's very much something to that, that, you know, it's the attention to the details type thing that a lot of people, you know, they looked at the squats and that was the main lift, but it was, okay, what else in addition to that is being done that is giving just that little bit extra that can be of benefit? And I think that is one of those exercises that definitely fits that bill.
And I think if you're careful with them, I like doing, especially if I'm going to start working overhead for a while, and if I'm going to take a break with it, what we've done is, because I like getting a grip with everything. I think you'll appreciate this. Number one, I love dips, all right? And once again, like the pullover, they're going to tell you they're dangerous, you blow your shoulder. Anything can happen, but if you know what you're doing, it's not. But what I did is I made this observation. You know, you want to put stuff around your waist. We use a big toe chain. I just like the effect and the look of it besides the strength of it. I took a measurement, and we built, which are lagged right through the cement wall of the garage, we took 4x4 wood and built them, and that's how our dip bars are. And let me tell you the beautiful thing about this. It's none of this shit where you got to step up on something and then try to put your arms on the bars and do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is at, like, walk-in level.
Yeah.
So you walk into these things, man. All you got to do is get yourself suspended on the 4x4s, cross your legs, and away you go. I'm telling you right now, I love doing those moderately heavy with a set. What I'll do is I'll take I have a pullover bench. I'll take that thing with I don't use a straight bar unless I'm going to do straight bar pullovers laying on my back, which are very harsh on you, so you got to be careful of those. But I'll take a curling bar, and the bar probably weighs 20 to 25 pounds. I won't throw any more than like 2.5s or 5s on, collar it, and just light them up and go back. I am going to tell you, man, you know, when you're talking overhead, especially what Jake's doing and everything, and the front squats and the dips, and then, you know, doing log presses and one-arm rows with 2-inch handles, I'm telling you right now, I don't understand why this stuff has just gotten lost. Well, I do in some ways, because most people own gyms, in my opinion, don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. They're there to make money. I get it. You know, get them in, get them out. Who cares? But, man, when you see especially what you're doing with Jake and everything, I mean, these are tried and true movements. And you know what it is, too, Andrew? I think a lot of it, they're just too damn hard for people.
Well, the other thing is everybody wants that quick – they want the special secret. Well, the secret's been out for over 100 years, and unfortunately, you know, it's lost its shine because, well, it can't be that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, I'm sorry, we got 100 years of practice in it. You know, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm just preaching, go out there, you squat, you deadlift, you overhead press, do it repeatedly for years on end. You're going to get better at it, and then you put just a fanatical drive into it, which is what Jake has done. Next thing you know, he's got world-class overhead strength and world-class front squat. I mean, he's a world-class athlete.
And you know what Andrew, you know what the greatest thing is? He didn't have to weigh 400 pounds to do it.
No, and it's truly remarkable, and it's like, oh, you know, this kid's always – we got a video of him struggling with a 180-pound log. Less than 4 years ago, right?
Unbelievable. Yep.
You know, this kid, you know, he came in, he just was like, I hate this log, but I love it at the same time. He's like, I am going to, you know, do well. And he just kept setting little goals, coming in, up in his squat, working on the log, up in his squat, working on the log, you know, doing all the main lifts, wasn't worried about, oh, I need to work on my biceps or my triceps. It was, I just need to press.
You know, what do I need to do to press? Yep. All right, here we go.
Yep. Well, look at all the old timers in York, the pressers. You know, you look like a Vern Weaver or any of those guys. Bill March, Bob Benarski. I mean, you know, John Grimmick. Look at Tommy Kono. Any of they were pressing machines, man. Look at Paul Anderson. You know, look at Doug Hepburn. I mean, I know people like to dismiss a lot of that, but it's like, you know something? I've talked to more and more people that are going back to the old stuff because they're understanding what it did. It is not complicated. I say that on the show all the time with everything. We're simplistic, and people are like, well, what does that mean? I'm like, well, here's the thing. If there's a certain thing you like to drink, why do you go out and try 10 other things to see if you're going to like something better? Variety, they'll say, is a spice of life. Maybe it is. But it's like, if there's something, I'm not saying I wouldn't try it, but what I'm saying is if there's something I like, I don't need to change it. I don't have to. So it's the same way with weightlifting, man. You get in there, bust your butt year after year, have your goals set. Like you said, I think it's still the best way. Attain little things. Little things equal huge things. And when you build that self-confidence up, you know, say he hits 400, okay? Let's say Jake hits 400, like, and he surprises himself. Well, you know he's going to want to go after 450 then. That's human nature, okay?
There's always another number out there to be chased.
Right. I mean, the thing is that I try to tell people, and I know we're resonating with people, is you're setting yourself up because I believe everybody's got greatness in them, and it's too bad we live in a time, especially now, where you're constantly told, maybe you ought to wait and try it another day, or, you know, you like this one. Well, you know, they might say no to you. You know what? I've learned one thing about entrepreneurship in the last 3 years, but I think, you know, I've always been of this mentality. It's like, you know what? If you believe in your heart and you believe in your head that you can do something or you want to attain something or you know, you look at all the guys that are afraid to ask girls out on dates. You know something, man? You got to get past those parameters you've set in your head or what other people have told you. And I've learned this just from doing this business is this. You got to learn to be able to go out and just divide. Now, I don't even say divide. You got to go out and conquer. And you can't let other people's opinions of yourself dictate how you live and how you do things. And when you're clear cut in what you want, your definition of you, I know what I want to do with this business for the next 3 years. I know what my goals are. I plan on achieving every one. I know what my fitness ones are. You know, well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get all the currency so we can get back to Iceland this spring. I got a shot. Adam Glass and I might go to Scotland in December after the Dinnies and the Inver. Next year, if things are sailing the way I plan, believe it or not, I want to go live in Spain for a while and learn how to bass stone lift.
Awesome.
That's my biggest goal to date, okay?
Awesome.
So I've got big things on, not only that, you know, we want to build a million listeners or more to the podcast, and obviously with FBC, with products and solutions, that's a big thing. But the main thing is I love doing the podcasting because I'm getting people like you out there and everybody else that are associated with the show that are actually doing this stuff, you know, have been in it, have coached people, and working and got the enthusiasm where I want to take what we're doing here. Like we're talking about, well, this stuff is simplistic and most people would dismiss you. Or it's like, well, what is a bent row? Or you know, how do you do a log lift? How do you execute a front squat? Well, guess what? We got it all here and that's what we're going to do. I want to bring as many people in here that are undecided or have failed in their own mind or have had people tell them they're no friggin' good and say, you know what, you are good, and we're all here to help you. So that's what I want to attain here, and when we talk about subject matter like this, and you're putting a real face on somebody. You got Jake here, a guy that is doing monstrous stuff, and he's getting ready to go and set his own personal record overhead. How can't you be enthused and inspired, man?
Yeah, it's all. I mean, that's just it. You know, it's inspiring others into doing the, you know, what others deem impossible. You know, I mean, we've got the saying on the back of all our shirts here, you know, limits are for the other people. You want to just go somewhere else, but you come in here, you know, you're going to take the restrictor plate off
and you're going to be amazed at what you can accomplish.
Well, it's amazing, too, because, you know, we didn't get into this, but we will next time. Just think of, like, the mental tenacity he's got, he's created in himself mentally.
Absolutely.
You know, that, you know something? I like the idea everybody's got all these mind books out now, but I'll tell you what. I mean, I've got enough probably to write 3 books right now. It's scattered all over with stuff. But I'll tell you right now, not only do I like the verbal end of what we do here, because I like to touch people. I think books are great. Don't get me wrong. I've got tons of them here. I'll reread them and reread them. I love all that. I like sitting and reading. But I think one thing we're missing right now with the information age, the digital age, is we've become, a lot of people have become socially inept. And a lot of people like stuff like that because they're not personalities. Where I'd much rather meet you and talk to you. We could sit, you know, and get some grub and eat and just bullshit all afternoon, you know, rather than me texting you.
Yeah,
back and forth. I'd be like, man, I don't even know this guy, man. I don't know what the hell he's telling me or anything. That's the whole point of my thing. It's like you touch people in a different way and they touch you in a different way. And it's like, when you can get that stuff, man, and they have an understanding and you have an understanding of them, you can just go so much further. And you know, books help. Books are great. But the human spirit, the speaking, the look – you know, Richard Soren said something to me yesterday. My dad used to say this to me all the time too. He judges a person by when he looks in the eyes. And my father used to always say that too. And my father always said, when you shake hands with somebody for the first time, see if they'll look you in the eyes, and if they don't, you don't want to be around that person because chances are something's not right. It's amazing that he was pretty much on the same page like my dad. I'm a big believer in that stuff, and I also am a believer in, you know, you meet somebody for the first time, I like going up saying, I'm Eric Fiorello, it's nice to meet you. Put my hand out. You know, these are all things I think that are very important and hark back to what we're talking about is your character is going to be your biggest builder, especially in strength. I don't care what anybody tells you. You either take something away from it and build upon it, or like a lot of people, they turn tail and they leave. And I, you know, Andrew, you know, summarize anything, any comments you want to make, finish up, and give out your website and any pertinent information. Let me give mine, and then if you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
Yep, absolutely. No, I think keep it simple, you know, just simple. Keep it simple, stupid. Get in there, you know, heavy, basic movements is the key and the foundation to everything that you want to achieve strength-wise. You want to be inspired, come on out to the gym. You know, our address, ours, my cell number, everything's on the website, journeyatstrength.com. Look us up if you're ever in Ohio. The Arnold is coming up here in a couple weeks. First weekend of March, and we got plenty of lifters that stop in at the gym, get some last training sessions in. Some of them have just, you know, on the podcast here, heard about us, want to see what it's all about. Definitely stop in, let us know. My wife and I, we got a spare bedroom, so we've got our own little bed and barbell that we get going. So, you know, stop on out, let us know you're in town, and we'll make it happen. So.
Well, I'm hoping next year I'm going to have the greenbacks to be at the Arnold, so I'm going to come look you up for sure, without a doubt. I want to come to that gym, man, and check that out. It'll be a lot of fun. You got anything else, boss?
I'm good.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com. Also, too, Athlete's Choice by Steven Santangelo, Primal Creations at AOL.com, or on Facebook, STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. www.grasslandbeef.com. That's our good friend John Wood, also known as U.S. Wellness Meats, loaded with CLA omega-3s, and he's grass-fed from start to finish. They also have grass-fed lamb, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. Don't forget Jason Follner's PlanAYearWorkouts.com. You get it there on his website or out on Amazon Prime. $5, no shipping. You can plan and succeed with your workouts. So go out and get that. It's awesome. I've got one. He did a great job. Also, too, StrongerGrip.com. They're handcrafted strength gear for 10 years. They've made high-quality stuff for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling, trophies. You've seen them on ESPN. He's also been featured in Men's Health magazine, and he's made custom hammers for Mike Dodge and all of us out there. StrongerGrip.com. And don't forget, enter in our contest. You can win a $350 hammer, the same thing that he made for FBC. It is absolutely gorgeous. It is the most balanced hammer I've ever used in my life. It holds 83 pounds a shot. All you have to do, upload your strongest video, whatever you want, to YouTube, and on the subject line, FBC and Stronger Grip dash what the lift is, and you can go down below, describe it. We encourage you to do that, obviously, too. You have to put in an email address. We will be drawing the winner. It'll probably be either late the 17th, which is a cutoff day, or first thing on the 18th, and we'll be reviewing them all along. You'll win that custom hammer, and you'll be my guest on Motivation and Muscle, and Willie will have a good time. So get out there and do that. You've got till March 17th, and I wish everybody the best of luck. Go out and show your strength. Top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's on FiorellaBarbellCo.com, free ebook. As I say, 10 paragraphs to look, listen, commit, and take action. That's what it's all about. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. That's out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Those are the two biggest offers I've got right now. Basically, strength times power. You have it's all shot in HD. I narrate the whole thing. And Dennis, who lost 43 pounds off doing a lot of the movements here, does every movement. And I use this for everybody that comes over here because you can interchange it all over. The winner's circle is 12 modules in audio. I speak from beginning to end. It's all about where I am, what I use. There's routines there. There's philosophy. You can use – it's just another thing, very interchangeable, very user-friendly. If you need any help, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Obviously, too, we talk about sponsorship. Still $100, 5 to 15 shows a week. Nobody out there is doing this. I got news for you. And remember, $30 goes to muscular dystrophy right now for flu shots. We'll change that, obviously, after the season's over. You know, you can save a kid's life. I've said it before. My brother had a common cold and died from pneumonia. It's upper respiratory they get, and they can't fight it. My brother Jimmy had Duchenne muscular dystrophy. If anybody's interested, go out and look it up. It is by far the deadliest. And we, to my parents' credit, he should have probably died a lot earlier than he did. They were the best. I'm telling you. I can't even imagine what they were dealing with every day. And thank God for them and Jimmy. I'll tell you that right now. So go out there. Be part of our millions of listeners. We're going to be around for 25 years, I guarantee you, at least. It will be the best 25 years of an association with us. Get on board. As I always say, we don't follow the path. We clear cut it. FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've got. We thank everybody for that. We're on Facebook at Fiorella Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. We're on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. I'll leave you with these. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them some words of encouragement. Words can be the greatest thing, but they can hurt worse than a blow to the chin. So be an inspiration, man. Don't be a selfish person. Go out and help somebody. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get. I think it's more prevalent than ever. Look around the people that just walk with their head down. They look beaten to death, man. And then thirdly, if you're going to go out and lift, take those stones, turn them into dust, bend up some iron, smash some stuff overhead like we were talking about. Go out and just do something, man. Feel good and productive. And as I always say, like Domination says on the Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone in Blood Red, we are Domination. We are millions strong, as I said before. We don't follow the path. We clear cut it. And as I always say, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been a guest and a great friend of the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of the speakers. Russell, like I said a million times, that's one of the nicest compliments I've ever gotten to me and the show. I will say that to the day we sign off. Andrew Derniat, thank you for being on. This was a smoking show, man, and we will get this show up tonight.
Awesome. Can't wait.
All right. So for Andrew Derniat, this is Eric Fiorello. Andrew will be on, let's see, I think I got it pulled up. I think he's on in April.
April, yeah, I think I've
yes, sir.
It.
Yep, you're on in April. I had it. Here it is right here. Andrew will be with me April 5th, 2016 at 1 p.m., so we'll have him back on then. As I always say, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road. Tell a friend about us, and let's get us out everywhere. Have a great week, everybody, and look forward to putting the show up tonight or later this afternoon. Have a great week, and we'll talk.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.